Would you turn to Luke chapter 22? And I appreciate your prayers this morning. Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 13. And let me say, I hope I didn't miss anybody in praying that wanted to be prayed for this morning. And if I make any mistakes, remember, you've got to forgive me. Luke chapter 22, verse 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I desire to eat this Passover with you. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning as we break the bread of life that you'll bless it, Lord God. Not because I'm the one who's given the word, but because it's your word, Lord God. You don't let it return void. You let it touch the hearts and lives of the people. You uplift your children and save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's been about 2,000 years ago since the scene we talked about, and we do things a little different. We do the Lord's Supper, depending on where you go, they do it in a different way. I understand there's some churches that have the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning, and I understand we do it once a month, and a lot of churches probably do, but there's some that just do it as they feel led to do it. I don't know if there's a right way or a wrong way. The important thing is you do it in remembrance of him. When you partake, you do it in remembrance of him. Otherwise, it's just a meaningless tradition of the church. Before it became the Lord's Supper, it was Passover. And this was Passover was special for Jesus this night. It was his last Passover on earth. 24 hours later, he will be dead. Perhaps he knew that it would start the tradition of the Lord's Supper. But I really think he wanted to eat it with his disciples. He wanted to spend this a little bit more time teaching them and showing them. This has to be his last night before they see him crucified. And he sent Peter and John with instructions to prepare for the Passover. And he gave them specific instructions. He said, you go into Jerusalem, you look for a man carrying a water pot, you follow that man. And this was kind of strange. You didn't usually see a man carrying a water pot. That was the women's work. And before you send me cards and letters, lady, it was the custom of that day. I didn't. But if they had just said, go look for someone carrying a water pot, they would have looked for a female. But Jesus didn't want any mistakes. He had one specific man that would be carrying a water pot, and he was to follow. They would see him and follow him. And when they got to the house, they were asked to the good man of the house, you know, where is the room that we can prepare the Passover for the Lord and his disciples? Perhaps it was someone that Jesus knew before. Maybe he'd healed them or healed some of his family. But whoever it was, he was willing to open up his home to the Lord. They said, the teacher wants to have Passover with his disciples, and he led them. And you know, you can miss some things sometimes. Sometimes little things and unimportant things show out. Obviously, this must have been a rich man. He had a two-story home. He was going to let them use the upper room. For those not Jewish, we cannot really grasp the Passover and what it meant to them. The closest we can come to it is Thanksgiving without football. We get together with family and friends, we eat a feast, and we sit around and talk. And when you get family together, what they talk about is the old days, back then. The old times for the Jewish people was the Passover that brought them out of Egypt, when they left bondage and became free. And it was Moses that did it, but it was a miracle after miracle that the Lord did that brought them out. All those stories were passed on from generation to generation. They didn't want them to forget it. They wanted to remember it. Kind of like Roger Staubach's Hail Mary pass. By show of hands, how many here do not know who Roger Staubach is? I'm getting older. You pass that on to your younger generation so they'll know who Roger Staubach. That was a great day. They were reminded how God told them to kill an unblemished lamb. And they were to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. And they were put it on. He could have just simply said sprinkle it on top. But he said put it on the sides, both sides, and on the top. And if you don't get that symbolism, you need to study a little more. They would eat the Passover lamb and run and think about the blood that was shed by that lamb that kept the death angel from coming away from their door. Then they had a pastry substance in a bowl. Kind of looked like mortar. It was to remind them of the mortar they used when they made the bricks for Pharaoh of Egypt. And there would be bitter herbs to remind them of their bitter bondage that they'd been in. They had unleavened bread to remind them that one day they would be a sinless Messiah come. He was going to come and lead them out of bondage. The whole meal was symbolic to the Jewish people. We've all seen pictures of the Last Supper, I think. Probably they were sitting around on a little stool, you know, at a table, everything. It's more than likely that it would just been just the floor. And they would sit around on mats on the floor. And maybe in somewhat of a circle. But however they did it, Jesus was going to be the center of the whole thing. Even if he wasn't sitting in the middle, he was the center of all the thing that was going on. They ate with their hands, using the bread as a utensil. They would break the bread open, take the bitter herbs, stick it between the bread, kind of like a sandwich, and they'd dip it into this pasty stuff, and they would call it a sop. It was common for the host of the day to provide the honored guest the sop, the first sop. And that's what Jesus did for Judas. He made one of these sops, things up, dipped it in there, and gave him the sop. Perhaps he offered Judas a chance to change his mind. One last chance. Jesus had spoke of his betrayal. He knew what Jesus was going to do. Judas was going to do. And he let Judas know he knew it. If there was a point in time when Judas was to stop it, this was the time. At that point, he could have turned around, repented, and been all right. But he didn't. They continue with the Passover meal. This was probably the third Passover meal they had shared together in these 3 years. But this time, it was to be different. This was to turn into the Last Supper. Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. And he said, take and eat. This is my body. Here were their years they had celebrated with this piece of bread, unleavened bread, to the Messiah to come. And Jesus says, this is me. This is my body. Take and eat. And he took the cup, probably while the bread was still in their mouth. And he gave thanks in the cup. He said, this is the New Testament of my blood, which is shared for you. He replaced the Passover. No more bitter herbs. No more mortar paste. No more lamb to die. Before the lamb was slain, his blood could protect, when the lamb was slain, its blood protected Israel. Now his blood would be shed for theirs. It's as John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He was dying for all of Israel and all of us. I think some of them might have started to get some of it. He had talked to them about his betrayal. In fact, he said one of them would do it and he would die. He was real plain to them, I'm going to die. Now that had to be somewhat of a shocker to them when they fully grasped it. Clearly in both Testaments, the blood of the Lamb delivers from slavery. The Jew from Egypt, the Christian from sin, and both from death. I'm not sure that you and I get a hold of all of what Jesus was teaching them. They had celebrated a Passover for 30, 40 years. It was a tradition. It wasn't you know, meant to be changed. It was something that did. But Jesus was changing it. They had not done it like this. Not with someone claiming to be the fulfillment of the bread. Jesus did not come in shouting, "I'm the Messiah," but he let them know in ways that they would remember. And this night, he said, "This bread is my body." He says his wine is his blood in the New Testament. The blood replaced the lamb's blood. That meant he would have to die. His death would take away the old covenant or the Old Testament to bring in a new testament, a new covenant. What a night it was for these men. A meal they would long remember. A Passover they would never forget. These men had argued over who would be the greatest. Can you imagine Jesus is fixing to die and they're worried about who's going to be greatest? Somehow, I think they fully hadn't grasped the message. Perhaps that's the reality and the reason Jesus washed their feet, who became a servant and washed their feet, so they would understand what they were to do, so we would understand what we are to do. He told Peter that Satan desired to sift you like wheat. He wants to do the same thing to each one of you. He wants to figure out that point, find that spot in you that's not real good, not cleaned up, not perfect, and work on it. Now, for you perfect people, you don't have to worry about this. Before the morning was over, he told Peter, he says, "You're going to deny me three times." And I'm sure Peter couldn't wrap his head around that. But yet, this man's never wrong. He told him that smite the shepherd and the sheep would be scattered. Is it any wonder that he told him about John 14 that night? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also me. There are many mansions in my Father's house. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." They needed to hear that. We need to hear that. When's the last time, you know, that you were in a situation like that? They were troubled that night. And by 9 o'clock the next morning, their whole world was turned upside down. How long has it been since you had your world turned upside down or something? I wish the Holy Spirit would do that for you and I today. I don't just want to have another communion service. I want something to celebrate the Lord's Supper. I want to have his presence touching and ministering and making us understand. I want the Holy Spirit to make communion real to each and every one of us. I want you and I to feel as the disciples felt that night, to know that Jesus was blessing these things for them. And he's going to bless these things for us today. They knew Jesus was trying to get across how important that night was. It was not just another Passover. It was his Passover for them and for us. If you've never been in slavery, you cannot understand what it is to be free. If you've never been in jail, you don't understand what it's like to come out and be free. Sometimes, you know, people are well for so long, they forget what it's like to be sick. It's like a woman who's giving a baby. 9 months is a long time, but for the joy of the child, she forgets the pain. Sometimes we forget some things we need to remember. We forget some things that we've all been slaves. The Bible says we're all slaves to sin. Sometimes I forget that because I want to forget my sins. I don't want to remember back there. I told you before, I didn't get saved until I was 28 years old. For 28 years, I lived for the devil. And then I got saved. And when I turned 56 years old, the scales were balanced. I'd lived as much for the devil and as I had in the Lord, you know. I got excited when I turned 57, I tipped the scales. Hallelujah. I was living more for the Lord than I had the devil. But we are all sinners. That's the way we started out. The Bible says we were conceived in sin. That may be why the doctor spanked me on my bottom and I didn't know what I'd done. We start out living our life in sin. Lying comes easy. Have you ever heard something in the other room break? It shatters, you know, and you go running in the room to see what's wrong, and there in the midst of all these pieces stands a child, and the child says, "I didn't do it." It just comes natural to us, it seems like, to lie. We sometimes, you know, do it without realizing it. Stealing comes easy. We take other kids' toys before we know what stealing is. I was about 6 years old when I remember stealing a 50-cent piece. It had been laying on the table. We were at other people's house. It was laying on the table, and I saw it, and I took it. Easiest money I ever made. So now at 6 years old, I'm a thief. And my mother asked, "Did you take that money?" And I became a liar. I said no. But she eventually knew the truth. And I give the money back. Now don't look at me like you don't believe that. You haven't been saints all your life either. And I haven't mentioned gossip. I keep going, I'll get on some of your sins. There's only one sin that I don't like to preach on, that's gluttony. Just hits too close to home. If I ever lose about 50 pounds, I may do that. But the Bible says we're all sinners. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That means we all need a Savior. We all need someone just like Israel did to save us. Someone who would set us free. I wanted to quit sinning, but I just couldn't seem to do it for that 28 years. My temper would come up. Marine Corps words would come out of my mouth. We all develop sinful habits that are hard to break. And some keep them so long, they think, "Well, I've had it so long, it's all right. God knows it's all about it." God died so you wouldn't do it. We develop sinful habits that are so hard to break. But praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ will break sinful habits. It will set you free. I know it because it did it for me. But I also know you got to want to change. You got to not just want to make heaven. You got to want to change everything. You cannot get to heaven like you were. If you're still like you were when you got saved, you didn't get it. Just like the blood could free the Israelites, Jesus' blood can free you. But like the blood of the Lamb, it has to be applied. If the Lamb were killed and the blood wasn't applied, it was no good. Jesus died, but if the blood isn't applied, it does not count. A lot of people won't accept his death, his atoning death for our sins, but not his blood to their life. "Take me to heaven, Lord, but don't ask me to change." Yeah. Let me tell you, if you don't change, you're still a sinner and you ain't going to heaven. You may say, "I've changed some things. That's like changing, you know, part of it or a little bit. So maybe when the rapture takes place, God will take you this high and drop you." Part way. God is looking for you to be complete in Jesus Christ. Have a complete change. You can partake of the grape juice and crackers till you're 110 years old. But it has to mean as much to you as it did to Israel and to the disciples. You've got to recognize it and tell others about it. Communion is done in remembrance of him. Israel remembered what God did for them. Do you remember what Jesus did for you? It was part of their life. They remembered every year. What Jesus did for you, you need to remember every day. We may celebrate it once a month, but we need to remember it every day. If Calvary has no meaning for you, Neither does communion. It has to be a difference in your life. You have to be different. As you partake today, I hope you want to be different. Paul, over in 1 Corinthians, I think I've got a spider web on my nose or something. Maybe the spider seems to keep tickling me. I don't know why. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Will you bow your heads this morning?